And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For he comes to you. He comes to you in the name of the Lord. He comes to you. He comes to us because we need him. Now, of course, we know all of that. We are well rehearsed in the religious chatter that tells us about Jesus and our need and so on. But we need reminding of the basics because it's easy to get distracted, especially in these holiday seasons. No matter how many times we hear Jesus is the reason for the season, we see it written down somewhere, we need to be reminded, and not just about Jesus. We need to hear why. Why Jesus? Why this birth? Why this man? Why God in the flesh? Why for us? From the busyness of these days, with the shopping and the cleaning and the decorating and the eating and the overeating and the entertaining, and then the regular work and chores on top of it all, in the busyness of these days, we don't often have or take time to think on Christ and what his birth actually accomplished. Worse yet, we live in a culture that loves peace on earth and goodwill to all, but which thinks it's up to us to bring that about. Hence, rather than looking to him who is grace and peace, we are told to look at ourselves in order to find peace and goodwill, in order to see whether or not we'll manage to make it happen this year in our homes. So we start this Advent season looking toward Christmas with the proclamation, he comes to you. And every year we hear the seemingly out of place account of Jesus riding to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and we are reminded we need him just as they did, and that he comes to us now just as he came to them. Humbly and gently and with grace. Now, these last couple of weeks, we've been hearing Jesus tell the disciples how to prepare for his coming at the end of time. And we know well how he once came to Bethlehem when the world in solemn stillness lay. But what about now? What about here? Does our King still come to us? The joyful task of today's preaching is to say, yes, yes, he does. He comes to you. He comes to you, to me, to us all, because we need him. We need him, God born in the flesh, born in our flesh, Jesus born of Mary and conceived by the Holy Spirit. We need him because we are born in sin and death. We're born in corruption. And even when reborn in Christ, we still have that proud, rebellious Adam hanging around our necks, prompting us to live for ourselves alone, prompting us to make our own rules, prompting us to ignore what's best for others so that we can do what's best for ourselves. So your King Jesus comes to you here and now. For if he does not come to you, if he doesn't come to me, to all of us, we'd be lost. And here's how Luther put it some 500 years ago. He wrote, he comes to you. Yes, truly, you do not go to him, neither do you fetch him. He's too high for you, too far away. All your wealth, your wit, your toil and labor will not bring him near you, lest you pride yourself that your merit and worthiness have brought him to you. Dear friend, all your merit and worthiness are smitten down, and there's on your side nothing but sheer undeserving and unworthiness, and on his side is pure grace and mercy. Here come together us fallen creatures in our poverty and the Lord in his unsearchable riches. Therefore, learn from the gospel what happens when God begins to build the likeness of Christ, and that is the beginning of saintliness. There's no other beginning but that your King comes to you and begins the work in you. You do not seek him, he seeks you. You do not find him, he finds you. Faith comes from him, not from yourself. And where he does not come, you must stay outside. And where there is no gospel, there is no God, but sheer sin and destruction. Therefore, ask not where to begin the godly life. There is no beginning except where this King comes and is preached to you. He comes to you here and now in the name of the Lord. And how is it that he comes? Well, you know the answer. He comes gently and humbly, not with the rush of emotions, not with mystic visions, not with deep thoughts, not with fire or tempestuous wind. He comes in the word spoken, read, shared. He comes to you in the good word that tells you you are forgiven and loved and redeemed and made new in Christ. He comes to you if a sermon's preached and proclaims Christ's love for you in God. He has come to you when you are declared forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He comes to you when you read his word that gives you grace. He comes to you when you remember that you were washed and given life in the waters of holy baptism. As you strengthen and encourage a fellow Christian with the word, or as you are strengthened and encouraged by a believing brother or sister with that same word, he is coming to you. And as you gather at this altar to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids you do in his own testament, he comes to you, righteous and having salvation. He comes to you in the name of the Lord, which means he's come to accomplish the purpose for which he was sent, as the one who is the exact image of the Father and who has the power and the authority to do all that the Father asks of him. He comes to you in the name of the Lord to die. That's one of the bracing realities of Christmas that's hard to fathom when you're looking at the babe lying in the manger. Several years back, I came across an illustration that tried to capture this reality. It showed the manger with stars shining down on it, but the shadow cast by the star's light was in the shape of a cross. He comes to you in the name of the Lord to die because that is what we need. Hence the account of Palm Sunday in our gospel reading that makes us think more of Holy Week than Christmas. Jesus was greeted when he came to Jerusalem. He was hailed as king. Make no mistake, those folks recognized him as the Messiah. They simply didn't grasp all the Messiah was come to do. And as we prepare for Christmas, we're called to greet him as our king, who comes to us here and now, the king who came to die for us, the king who was born in weakness before the world, who suffered in meekness before his enemies, and who in love and faithfulness has triumphed over death and hell, winning redemption for us all. This king, who once came in lowliness, shall come again in glory, as we confess in the creeds, no longer appearing weak before the world, but coming to bring to completion all that he started with his resurrection and ascension. And yet today, this morning, we remember the king who comes to us here and now. There is no real readiness for Christmas apart from remembering and believing that the blessed one who was born at Bethlehem and who will come again still comes to us here and now, real and powerful, with abundant grace. He comes to us in word and sacrament in the name of the Lord because we need him. He comes to us with life and grace so that we would be redeemed, made new, and repent of all those dead things that we cling to in ignorance and defiance. So as we enter this Advent season, hear the call to us, the call to repentance, to faith, that we might be rightly prepared to celebrate Christmas and ever ready to greet Jesus as he comes to us now and always, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Alleluia. Amen." And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.